just put that in your pocket, okay?
It's on, eh?
It's on now, yeah.
Okay.
Okay?
Sure. Good to go. You're sure there won't be any electrical storms in the middle? For the gracious introduction, thank you, Don. I was fearful for a while that it might be Paul who was. Speaking of Paul and Leon, a couple of months ago, Leon, you were here, weren't you? And Paul, you were here a couple of weeks ago. And I'm afraid after this, you folks may be like the fellow who went into an antique shop and said, "So, what's new?" So, I hope it doesn't just work like that. Pray, shall we, before we start? Heavenly Father, we acknowledge before you at the outset our great need of your help whenever we take your word up, and Father, we pray that by your Spirit, you would help us to manage our speaking and our thinking alike. And our Heavenly Father, we pray that by the time this is over, it might be true that your name has been honored and your people have been encouraged. So our Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity. And we lean on you as we proceed, giving you thanks for your faithfulness and your undying love. Father, thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. There is a theme that I would like to approach, and before I do, I'd like to go back. We'll be in Psalm 18 is the first one we'll take a look at. I want to go back to 2 Samuel for a couple of verses. You need not go there, I guess. That would be 2 Samuel 21. And well, I'm going to pull a few verses out of 2 Samuel 21. And there is great similarity between 2 Samuel 22 and Psalm 18. We'll concentrate on Psalm 18. But one little episode from David's life to begin with, and it goes like this. From verse 15, "Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel. David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines, and David waxed faint. Then Ishbi-benob, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. But Abishai, the son of Zerina, helped him and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David swore unto him, saying, Thou shalt go out no more with us to battle, that you quench not the light of Israel." Now, these guys undoubtedly in some way were related to Goliath. One was the brother of Goliath. There were four of these big fellows that these men of David were able to dispatch. And one of the fellows who slew one of those giants was David's nephew. And it's just kind of an interesting thing that we have this fellow David involved in such a battle late in life. Very early in life, he did the same. But here now again, he is, at whatever age he was at that point, willing to take on the giants again. But he wasn't the same fellow that he was before. He had slipped a bit in the process, like that hockey player that finds himself two or three steps behind where he had been 3 years or 4 years ago. And so things have changed a little bit, and he was aware, as he had been at other times in his life, of the challenge of being firm on his feet, I guess, in some way, physically, but metaphorically, there was the possibility of slipping. And I'm heading to Psalm 18 right about now, and looking at verse number 30. Let's begin at verse 30. This is a psalm of David. He rehearses God's faithfulness, how he had been challenged in the past, how he had made appeals to God in the past, and how God had answered in some pretty miraculous ways in the past. And we come to verse number 30. We'll go from 30. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength. He maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon my high places. He teaches my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken in my arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of salvation. It's interesting how he switches from third person to second person here, talking to God. Thou hast given me, and thy right hand hath held me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. That's the verse I want to key on, that by God's great provision, his foot had not slipped. Now, in a very physical way, I'm sure, we can visualize that foot slipping, mud or whatever. And there were probably days, maybe 70 or more years ago, when you were happy to find a patch of ice and slip on it just for fun. It didn't cost you anything to fall then. Slipping was okay. I let Ave off at the back corner here last night, and there was a little patch of ice there, and I just warned her, just like I would warn Bev, watch out for the ice, and she said, oh, good. Didn't bother her any. But it wouldn't get the same reaction from too many people. Metaphorically, spiritually, we can slip. And emotionally, we can slip. And in our lives before God, as we seek to live with him, for him, there is slipping that may well and often does happen. David looks back and he gives God credit and tributes God for this.